So we left off yesterday, we were discussing the potential problem of Mamid Hadavar Makabel Tumah. The whole source of Mamid, of using something which itself is possible to support the Schach that would otherwise be Kasher, is based on the Das Yochid within the Das Yochid. It's based on one opinion within the view of Rabbi Huda. The only problem is that we may paskin like that Das Yochid. That's the question. So we saw an issue already that the Poskim raised, that even if you accept the idea that Mamid is a problem, there seem to be some cases that where we ignore Mamid, and the question is, why do we ignore Mamid? So there was a whole theory that was suggested by the Magen Avraham and followed by the Mishnah Berura, that based on a Ramban, that b'medvar b'murim, that Mamid is a problem, that's only if the Dovra Mamid, if the Dovra HaPosel, the metal, whatever the case may be, is actually literally supporting the Schach. But if it's supporting something which in turn is supporting the Schach, so that was never included in the Gzeira of Ma'amid. So how does this play out for us in terms of the Halacha? Do we accept this distinction in terms of the Shulchan Aruch itself? So if you take a look at the 13th of the Marmakamos, there are two statements of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah that at first glance seem to contradict one another. In the 13th of the Marmakamos, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Yesh l'stapek, emutla niach sulam alagag kedir asachach agabav, that it's unclear whether one can take a ladder and throw the ladder on top of the roof in order to put schach on top of that ladder. Now, what's the issue? Why is it yesh l'stapek? So it's not clear whether a ladder is actually possible for schach or not. And normally we think, you know, initial reaction is, when you see a kli, that's a bad thing. A kli is something that's becoming tumo. Well, not so simple. We're talking about a little bit after the shiur yesterday, that a kli eitz, a wooden kli, is not automatically Mekabel Tumah. A wooden kli is only Mekabel Tumah if it has what's called a base kibble to it. If it has a receptacle, something that can contain something like a bowl, a wooden bowl is Mekabel Tumah. But a wooden tray, a wooden flat plate or something, something which doesn't have a base kibble to it, is not Mekabel Tumah. The Gemara derives from Sukkim. So it's not clear whether a ladder is considered to be something that has a base kibble to it or not, depending on how the ladder is made, because the rungs of the ladder are put in, they're attached to a hole in the ladder, but the hole is not really a base kibble. It's a tumah type of a shayla. So Shulchan Aruch leaves us hanging in terms of the ladder, and he leaves us hanging in terms of, is one permitted to not only use the ladder as schach, but to actually put schach on top of the ladder, having the ladder support the schach. So the Ramah continues, "Lachen ein lechsachich alav, v'afil laniach al haschach lachziko osur, v'hu adin b'chol kli ha-mekabel tumah kon safs of a kisish v'mekabel tumah medrash." So the Ramah says, therefore, not only should you not use the ladder, because we're not quite sure about its status vis-a-vis tumah, one shouldn't use it to support the schach either. And then, by the way, says the Ramah, similarly, any kli that is mekabel tumah, for example, a chair or a bench, for sure should not be used neither as schach, nor should it be used to support the schach. This is the exception to the rule of a flat wooden kli. Normally, if you have a flat wooden kli, it's not mekabel tumah, but if it was made specifically to sit on it or to sleep on it, then it is mekabel tumah. That's the parsha of tumas medras, as a psukim in Parshas Metzora, that anything that's designated as sheyeshiv alav, as sheyishkav alav, even if it would otherwise not be mekabel tumah, it is mekabel tumah. This was the original issue years ago when they started the mats. They started with the bamboo mats. So there was some who raised the question, maybe the bamboo mats are a problem, because the Mishnah says at the end of the first part of Sukkah that if you take a lot of pieces of wood and you sew them together and make a mat out of it, so even though the pieces of wood, the slats of wood themselves are theoretically in a Kabbalah Tumah, they're Pshuta Kliyates, but once you make it into a mat, so then it becomes rather Kabbalah Tumah. So the Mishnah says it depends. If you made it for the purposes of sleeping, then it's a problem. If you made it for the purposes of something else, you made it for the purposes of being a fencing or something, so then it would be okay. It seems like it's an open and shut question. I mean, just make, when you make the bamboo mats, just make them for the purpose of schach, don't make them for the purpose of sleeping. So some posts can raise the question, is that what do you mean when you make them? Who exactly is making these bamboo mats? So the bamboo mats are being made in China. So if you ask the average person in China who's pressing the button in the factory and makes the bamboo mats, ask him, do you know that you're making hinu mukham zuvun l'shem schach? He doesn't know what you're talking about. He looks at bamboo and he says, this is what we sit on in China. So some poskim raised the question about that. So others responded that no, that he's not making it for himself. He's my employee. He's working the factory. So he's making al das, whatever his order is. So So if some guy from Eretz Yisrael is sending him an order for 5,000 bamboo schach mats, not for mats to sleep on, he couldn't care less one way. He's not going to sleep on them anyway. Whatever I want him to do, that's what he's doing. So that's a question. That was a little bit of a pilpul in the poskim. Lamais, what they do now is they actually send somebody to China to be there when the mats are being made, so it's understood that they're being made for the proper
Shmur Matzah.
Yeah. So you have to get your mashgiach on the bamboo factories. Remember, over the course of the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years or so, there's been a little bit of an evolution in terms of the making of the bamboo mats. The original bamboo mats that were made were tied together with things that were makabel tumah. So there were some who had concerns with them, that maybe they were shy of being a mamad v'davar makabel tumah. So they switched them. Now they're made with many of them. The newer ones are made with things that are not makabel tumah. They're actually connected with reeds and all kind of stuff that themselves is grows in the ground, which when lamaisa is not subject to kabbalas tumah. So there's been a little bit of an improvement, because according to some poskim, an improvement over the mats. Lamaisa, we assume that the mats are okay. The minhag Yisrael today is to use the mats. But years ago when they first started, there was some who were mafakfik a little bit on the mats. So anyway, get back to our story. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that anything that is makabel tumah, and the Rama adds on, anything, no matter what kind of kabbalas tumah it is, if it's either the schach, of course it's a problem, and even if it's a mam, it appears to be a problem as well. The problem is that the Shulchan Aruch, in the very next sif, in the same Maromachim even, number 13, sif ches, the Shulchan Aruch writes, the chaber kunsos ha-sukah b'masmeira shel barzel. What if a person has pieces of wood that are being used for schach, and now he wants to connect them to the sukkah, doesn't want them to fall down, so he wants to nail in the pieces of wood, or the kashrim it blows, or he wants to tie them down, blows or perish chatichos shebegodim beluyim. He wants to take shmatas, he wants to take rags, and use them to tie the schach, it's going to be windy sukkahs, so he wants to make sure the schach isn't flying. Even though shebekabel tumah, even though these rags are makabel tumah, they come from an old undershirt or something, so it's a bag and it's makabel tumah, ain't kepeda. The Shulchan Aruch says that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Mutar lechatchila, you're allowed to tie down the schach with rags. You're allowed to nail in the schach. It doesn't matter. So the problem is, wait a second, isn't that a classic violation of ma'amid? And here I'm using the nails to keep the schach in place. I'm using the wood to keep the schach in place. So what's the difference whether I'm supporting the schach on a davar makabel tumah, or I'm using a davar makabel tumah to place down, to weigh down, to hold the schach down? What's the difference between the two? So the Mishnah Berurah in the 14th of the Maamar Kamos explains what the difference is. Zeh mutar l'kulei alma. So says the Mishnah Berurah, to just to throw in a nail or to throw in a shmata, something to tie the schach down, this is mutar according to everybody. Afilu l'man to also l'hamid eschach v'davar makabel tumah. This is permissible even according to the machmirim, even according to those who say mam, it is a problem. Kevan she'ein somech eschach ala masmerim, because the schach itself is not being supported by the nails. El shemachzich behem haklon sos amamidim laschach. The klon sos are not the schach itself. The klon sos are the poles. The klon sos are we would call today the cross beams. So I'm nailing in the cross beams, which are in turn holding up the schach. Or umitam ze gamkin mutl kasher makun sos bevelaos. Or I'm tying down the cross beams with shmatas bechavon shel pishkan with strings of linen. Enoch in Ami says the Mishnah Berurah, the likshah eschach atzpo beklunsos bechavalim. Where is alachet chila? Says the Mishnah Berurah, if you want to tie down the schach proper, or if you want to nail in the schach itself, that's already something you should be concerned with. Kevin shekosha eschach atzpo b'davar makabel tumah, because then you're tying or you're supporting, you're nailing in, keeping in place the schach with the davar makabel tumah. So basically, what did the Mishnah Berurah do? This is a quote right out of the Magen Avraham. What did the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham just do? They explain the apparent stira in Shulchan Aruch, where it's such a blatant contradiction. In Siv Zion, he says it's a problem. Siv Ches, he says it's mutar. So what's the issue? So he says it's a very simple answer. Says the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Magen Avraham, in Siv Zion, where the Shulchan Aruch does not like to support Tzchach with Dover Mekabel Tumah, that means because the Dover Mekabel Tumah is touching the Tzchach proper. It's supporting the Tzchach directly. In Siv Ches, it's already one step removed. You're not supporting the Tzchach. You're not tying down the schach. You're not nailing down the schach. You're supporting, tying down, nailing down the cross beams that are in turn holding up the schach. That falls into the category we mentioned yesterday, called the ma'amid. So this is the psach of the Magen Avraham, the psach of the Mishnah Berurah, that Mamed the Mamed is Mutal Lechatchila Shom Lechatchila. And even Mamed itself, the Mishnah Berurah's lashon was, Roy Lizor Lechatchila. Mishnah Berurah never said that Mamed apostles the Sukkah. Mishnah Berurah just said that it's Roy Lizor Lechatchila. It's better to avoid, because there are some Rishon who hold that it's a problem, some Rishon Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, the version of Mamed. So therefore, Lechatchila is better to avoid it. But if you want to know how to build a Sukkah, Lechatchila Shom Lechatchila, says Mishnah Berurah, no qualms, no problems. Just build it based on Mamed the Mamed. So we mentioned yesterday this Chazanish, in the 15th of November, we're not going to be told Chazanish, but the bottom line is, the Chazanish holds that concept of Mamed the Mamed, lo hayu dvar mehilum. There's no such thing as Mamed the Mamed. Says the Chazanish, you have to be consistent. If you think that there's a problem of Mamed, then there's a problem of Mamed the Mamed as well. If you think that there's no problem with Mamed and Mamed, then you basically believe there's no problem with Mamed either. So the Chazanish says, how do we paskin halacha? So the Chazanish is usually quoted as being the biggest machmir in the sugya of Mamed. The Chazanish says, forget Mamed and Mamed. There's not anything and everything that has any shape or form in any way whatsoever supporting that tzchach cannot be a davar b'kabel tumah. What that translates to the Kohen Chazanish is basically no metal in your sukkah. That means no nails in your sukkah. Forget about no nails on the schach, no nails on the crossbeams, no nails. Basically anywhere in the sukkah, everything has to be made out of wood. That's the Chazanish's standards in terms of building a sukkah. So everyone quotes the Chazanish as being the biggest machmer, which is true that he was machmer because he didn't accept the kula of Mamed and Mamed. But he's also the biggest kula in the sugya, because the Chazanish writes that he thinks that in our heart of hearts, we paskin Mamed is not really a problem. So he says that if you really truly want to know what I think about Mamed, says the Chazanish, I think Mamed itself is okay. But according to you, who want to be machmer in Mamed, then even Mamed, the Mamed, the Mamed 100 times over is going to be a problem. So if you want to know, is the Chazanish the biggest machmer in Mamed or the biggest makel in Mamed, depending on what vantage point you're taking? Halacha lemaisa, what the minhag ha'olam seems to be in our communities is that we seem to accept the hachra of the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, but we permit Mamed the Mamed even lechatchila. Most of our sukkahs have, to some degree, a Mamed the Mamed. Anyone who has a canvas sukkah for sure has a Mamed the Mamed on it, because the metal, the frame itself is metal. So what the minhag is, most people put a little slab of wood on top of the metal, then they throw the schach on top of that, following the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. According to Chazanish, it doesn't do anything. The sukkah is kosher anyway, says the Chazanish, because in our heart of hearts we don't accept Mamed, but in terms of gaining anything by putting that slab of wood, says the Chazanish, you gain basically nothing. And
why does he think Mamed's a problem? He doesn't hold like Rebuta period, or he doesn't hold like that?
No, he says we don't pass like Rebuta altogether, we don't pass in Rebuta, that version of Rebuta. He says most of the Rishonim didn't accept it.
even the Gemara itself doesn't really
lend
itself to Mamed
the
Mamed. It just
says... Right. The Gemara says it's all based on a Ramban, and the Chazanish claims that the Ramban never said it. Never said what the Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah thought he said.
But it would imply that Mamed the Mamed is almost like a Deraisa.
Right, so it would probably...
Because it's a Gezerah concept that we were just working with Rashi, then it's hard to assume
right.
A Gezerah of a Gezerah.
Right. I mean, it would make more sense if you hold that Mamed is only a Durabun anyway, so then you can have a little bit more lenient approach to Mamed and Mamed. If you really go like Rashi, it's Mamed Deraisa.
Right.
So it's almost like an arbitrary. It's almost like an arbitrary distinction. Right. So again, if you want to be a Mishnah Berurah person, so then you're okay, because Mamed and Mamed is mutlal chilik. If you want to be a Chazanish person, at the end of the day, all Mamed's good. So it's very hard to parcel sukkah. The bottom line, I mean, you can parcel sukkah for other reasons, but it's very hard to parcel sukkah based on a Mamed, since the ikra then is that Mamed, both according to Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham and the Chazanish, Mishnah Berurah himself only said Raya Zohar Chachila. So at the end of the day, if a person finds themselves in a sukkah which has schach resting directly on metal, see Yesh Bacham Hakam also. But the Evid, that would also be okay. And again, our minhag is that we try Lechachila to try to create a Mamed de Mamed.
And wait, one more. Let's say there's like a predicted to be like a storm or something. So this notion of, let's say, tying down the schach, would that be something that we would
matir? Right, so that's what I tell people to do, is that if many people ask me before Sukkot, bottom line, Rabbi, what's the best way to make sure my schach doesn't fly? So I'd say as follows. The best way is amunah. That's the number one. But if that doesn't, if you're not such a mamin, so then we, after Yom Kippur, maminim, but you have to look for something practical. So what I think is the best way to do it is to take a 2x4. Take a piece of wood and throw the wood on top of the sukkah. Why is that? A tuba before is not makabel tuma. It's not even a cleave, and whatever it is, it's pshuta kliye. It's not makabel tuma altogether. So technically speaking, a 2x4 is really kosher for schach proper. So many people have a minig not to use 2x4s mamish for schach for the following reason. The Mishnah says later on in Masechet Sukkah that whatever person takes nesarim are mamish planks of wood. If you take a plank of wood and you make a sukkah out of planks of wood, technically it's okay because a plank of wood is a kliyeh ain't a makabel tuma because it's right. You know what I'm saying? Right. You mean so you lay down five planks of wood across the top of your sukkah. What's wrong with that? So Gemara says, you're right. Minat Torah, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a problem with the Rabbanan. What's the problem with the Rabbanan? Because it gives off the impression of a bias. You walk into a guy's sukkah and you see his guy's got planks of wood on top. That's how you build a house. That's how you build a temporary hut. So there was a concern with the Rabbanan, Gezeiras Tikra, it's called. That we're afraid that if I let a person build a sukkah using planks of wood, next thing you know, he's going to sit in his house. He's going to think, what's the difference whether I'm sitting in my sukkah or sitting in my house? It all look the same. So therefore, Midir Rabbanan, they made a gezeira. At what point did they make the gezeira? How wide is the plank of wood to make the gezeira? So the Gemara concludes, it has to be 4 tefachim wide. Because if it's a very, very thin plank, very small plank, people don't generally use that for construction. But if it's more than 4, so that's more of a concern. So the Gemara paskins that up until 4 tefachim, lechatchili, you can use a plank of wood. So the Rishonim quote that may not apply bizman hazeh. That kula up to 4 tefachim may not apply bizman hazeh. Why is that? So some of the Rishonim are concerned that in the days of Chazal, Chazal were kaveh, the shear was 4 tefachim, so it must be that it wasn't so normal to use for building material anything less than 4 tefachim. But bizman hazeh, it's very normal to use even smaller pieces of wood when we construct our houses. So therefore, some Rishonim are concerned that maybe we have to be more machman than they were bizman Chazal. Because the Gezeiras Tikra was never written in stone 4 tefachim. 4 tefachim was a description of the normal building practices bizman Chazal. Maybe that changes l'chumra bizman hazeh. So that's a question. That's a shayla in the poskim. So therefore, the minig is that we wouldn't build a sukkah just made out of, 3.5, wide tefachim and just call it a day of planks of wood. So the meaning is we don't do that. The question is there any point where we're not concerned with that? So the minig in many, many places is to use little slats of wood, mamish, little tiny slats. In Yerushalayim, it used to be the minig. I don't know if it's still the minig, but it was the minig for many, many years. They used to use little slats of wood that some people today, even in America, use instead of bamboo, instead of the mat. They mamish take little tiny, 2-inch wide slats of wood, and they use that. So the Ruba, the post can say, that's for sure. Okay, why? No one's going to build a house out of that. What are you going to do with that in a house exactly? It's so minuscule, so it's garnished. So therefore, that we assume is okay. To make a sukkah out of 2x4s, to make big pieces of wood and build a sukkah, so we would probably be a little bit weary. We would be concerned. Maybe that has that smacks a little bit of Gezeiras Tikra, possibly. So b'medivar mamurim, that means to mamish build a sukkah that way. But to throw a piece of wood on top of the sukkah just to hold down the schach, it's a chumras, it's going to be chumras. Since the ikur adin, the piece of wood is kosher for schach itself, that's what I tell people to do. The best way to hold down the schach is by taking a piece of wood, a 2x4, and throwing it on top, throwing it as a beam on top of the schach. If one is not comfortable and not able to do that, one wants the mamish tie down the schach. So the best thing to do is to try to tie it down with something itself, which is not makabel tuma. So they have certain kind of natural strings they sell in the sukkah depot places, certain kinds of things that grow in the ground, and they're not really makabel tuma. So that would be a great thing to use to hold down the schach. If all else fails, and you want to use mamish regular string, you want to use wire, you want to use something that is a chashash of being makabel tuma, so then mikra din is mutter anyway. Because the ikikra din is that mamet is really kosher. So again, if any time a person is using something to hold down the schach, you're running into a potential issue of mamet, and depending how serious you're concerned with mamet, it's going to be how serious you're going to be concerned with holding down the schach. Some want to argue that, let's say I throw down a piece of wood on top of the schach and I'm still nervous, I want to tie the strings also, so it could be that's not even called mamet anymore, because once the wood is there, it's probably itself mamet the schach, it's probably holding down the schach. I'm just putting it on almost like an extra precaution. Maybe that's not even called mamet altogether. That was a shayla originally when I mentioned before, when the original schach mats came out. So there were metal wires or something that were holding together the pieces of bamboo. So some were concerned that grew for his mamet. It means you're building a sukkah l'chatchila based on mamet because you need the wires to hold it on. So the response that some of the rabbanim who gave the original hashkachas on those mats is that when you lay the mat down over the wood, which is on top of the metal, whatever it is, So the emphasis is that the schach would probably stay up by itself anyway. So the wire is almost like a mamid to mamid. It's almost like an extra precaution. It's not the mamid proper. So again, 20, 30 years ago, when they first came out with those mats, so the mats were made with wires. Over the years, there was some improvement in them. They stopped using the wires, the newer ones. If you buy the ones in Eretz Yisrael now, so they don't use the wires. They usually use the knei suf or something. They use the reeds or something else to support the schach. So that...
The
Gufner is Chanukah, the Mahadran, Minim Mahadran. So they boosted up the level a little bit, but rather than using the metal, so they use the other thing. I remember years ago when people used to ask me about the mats, I used to tell them that I think the ones they make in Eretz Yisrael are better, because the ones they make in Eretz Yisrael have the natural fiber that's used instead of the metal, and the ones in Eretz Yisrael were a little bit more comfortable with the concern that maybe there's a chashash, maybe they're being made for the purposes of shechiva, because they're being made out in China. Who knows what the guy's real kavana is? So they're also okay. But if they're being made in Eretz Yisrael, Shalom Yisrael, being made in Milu Meir Sharam, Bnei Brachon, Gevaldik, they're for sure being made for the purposes of not for sleeping. So I used to recommend people get the Eretz Yisrael ones. There used to be some that had an Eretz Yisrael Ashkacha, some that had an American Ashkacha. So I was under the impression the ones that had the Eretz Yisrael Ashkacha, they're being made in Bnei Brak, and they're for sure not a concern of being made for the purposes of Shechiva. And Shalom Yisrael, until I was informed by the sukkah companies when I did a little bit of research, that Lohay Dvar Yolam, the ones that are made in Eretz Yisrael, they're made in the same factory in China. They just have Hebrew letters on them instead of having English letters on them, Chinese letters on them. So they're the same exact ones. No, it's not true. Not to say the ones that are covered with Ashkachas from Eretz Yisrael were the ones that were being machbed on having the natural fibers rather than having the metal. But in terms of the concern of that they're being made for the purposes of sleeping on, so it doesn't matter whether the Mashkiach has a long white beard from Bnei Brak or has a long white beard from New York. It's the same exact places. So don't be misled. I didn't say they're no good. I just said that, contrary to for many years, I was under the assumption that they're being made in Israel. They're being made in China. They're all being, again, unless something's changed in the last few years, they're all, to the best of my knowledge, they're all being, as of 5 years ago, they're all being made in China, and they're all the same in terms of that issue of Kabbalah Stuma. We, in the Minhag HaOlam, we assume that it's not a problem. Those who helped me build my sukkah are well aware of the fact that we have poles on our sukkah, because when we bought our sukkah almost 20 years ago already, so there was still a little bit of a sichsuch. There was some folks who still had a little bit of an issue with the mats, so I didn't want to get involved in any of the shayim, so we just bought plain bamboo poles like they did in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, like the Friedrich and Doris of the bamboo poles. I always say that sukkah is a very, very good example of, the Rambam tells us in his Ani Mamins, one of the basic print fundamentals in Amuna is Zayset Torah Lotei Mechlefes. That the Torah that we have is the same as it was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's never ever going to change. And the Rambam says all our Chefetz Shal Mitzvahs are the same. We wear the same tefillin and we wear tovel in the same mikvahs and we do the same shechitas and we have the same sukkah, the same tzitz. Everything is mamash the same the way it was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So when the Rambam says that Zayset Torah Lotei Mechlefes, everything is the same. So you have to be careful what that means. What that means is the halachic component of our mitzvahs are mamash identical. Namely, when we build a mikveh today, so the basic principles of Hilchos Mikvos are identical. We could use Moshe Rabbeinu's mikvos, and he could use our mikvos. It's the same basic principles, the same hole in the ground with 40 saw, with the water, with Ashrocha, with Zriya. All those principles are the same deraisa, Ishpapish and Moshe Rabbeinu. But it doesn't mean to say that the mikvos of the days of Moshe Rabbeinu looked anything like the mikvos of the Moshe Rabbeinu would come and look at the Tinek mikveh and say, what? Where did this come from? They said, this is so fancy, so nice, so beautiful, with tiles, with mice. Look at it. The days of Midbar, they had a hole in the ground, they jumped in and shut. So the halachas are the same. So I said, the same is true when it comes to sukkah. So our sukkahs are exactly the same as Moshe Rabbeinu's sukkah. It's honest. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu used bamboo in his sukkah. He said, he had bamboo mats in his sukkah. Moshe Rabbeinu never saw a piece of bamboo. The answer is that the halachic part of sukkah, the part that really matters, the heart and soul of sukkah, that it has to be something that grows in the ground and not attached to the ground, and anything comes to with those basic principles, the walls have to be this size, and the schach has to be this size. Those basic principles, Ishpa Piyashar Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu would feel comfortable walking into our sukkah, and we would feel comfortable walking into his sukkah. But it doesn't mean that the cultural norms, the cultural differences, the way sukkahs have a matzah. And Moshe Rabbeinu would see a square piece of a matzah, he wouldn't know what hit him. He said, that's a matzah? So we would explain to him, it's the same matzah. it's flour and water in less than 18 minutes. Everything's a shmat. So they say gavaldik. So they, what do you use it for the saying? It depends on the chassidish or misnagdish. I don't know. But in terms of the basic tzuras of mitzvah, so that's 100% true that the mitzvahs haven't changed one iota. The cultural parts of the mitzvah, the externals of the mitzvah, the aesthetics of the mitzvah, that's changed a lot. That changes in time and place. Every community is different in terms of that. We've seen that change even in our own lifetime. We've seen that change. I remember when I was a little boy. So the first sukkah that we had had branches in it. Branches and grass and green. And I remember when we switched to bamboo. So to bamboo poles, no bamboo mats. Back to bamboo poles, that was such a chiddush. I remember that my grandmother, Shalom, walked into the sukkah the first night, and she looked up. I never forget this. This goes back 40 years. She looked up and she said, "Where's the schach?" She had no idea what bamboo was. She said, "This is schach." I said, "Yeah, Bobby, this is the newest fan, schach." She said, "Schach has to be green." She grew up in Poland. Said, "Schach has to be branches with green. It's got to look like schach. This is not schach. This is the Chinese house." I said, "She didn't understand. Put her wrapped hands up." So over the years, she also softened up a little bit. So and then if she would have seen bamboo mats, she would have known. She would have gone back to Europe. She would know what to do with that. So again, so there are quote unquote changes in the performance in the mitzvah, but they're all aesthetic. They're all external changes. There's nothing. In terms of the heart and soul of the mitzvah, everything is the same. So the bottom line is we have to go back now with everything we've learned and go back to Mechitza Shel Barzel.
Just one quick question. Assuming one does want to be choshish for Maimon, is there a shear for how much of the sukkah is being held up by that? You have one metal bracket in one corner of this.
Well, whatever would fall without that metal bracket is being humad by that bracket. So if you're telling me that the whole schach would collapse without that bracket, that's all mamon. If you're telling me just one piece of schach would be held up, so then that one piece of schach is quote-unquote puzzle. So the question is, well, how do we get out to the sugya altogether? The real sugya mamon is nafcha falaf. We said that because we don't want to wait to nafcha falaf. We probably won't get to this man. But not probably, we definitely won't get to this man. But we really got here almost roundabout because you go all the way back to the first of the Mamakomas. Abai was the one who made the statement, Mechitza Shel Barzel are okay. And the question is, why Mechitza Shel Barzel are good? Isn't Mechitza Shel Barzel, or Mechitza Shel Barzel by definition considered to be Mamid? So how do you solve that problem? How can Abai make that statement? Just matter of factly, Mechitza Shel Barzel are perfectly okay. And you can put the schach on the Mechitza Shel Barzel. What happened to Mamid? So there are multiple answers to that question. So one answer may be that we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda. Finish. End of discussion. Abai is already the lady of Amira. Already Nimna v'Gomu. The Amira already were machri against Rabbi Yehuda. The whole Ma'amid is a nice theoretical academic discussion, but it's not relevant to Maisa. So that's the simplest way of learning Abai. Or one could learn that even if Rabbi Yehuda is accepted, that's like the Rush said, even if Rabbi Yehuda is accepted, but we have the incorrect version of Rabbi Yehuda. We've been spending the last 2 days talking about the Ma'amid aspect of Rabbi Yehuda. That's not even what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda said, Eim Lakeva, whatever that meant, that we spoke about before Yom Tov, where the Eim Lakeva means that it's movable, and the Keva means there's no 10 Tvachim, and the Keva means it's going to collapse, again, Rashi and Raivas and Taisis. That was all the pre-sukkahs part of the Sugya. But it could be that the aspect of Mamid, even though Rabbi Yehuda proper is accepted, that version of Rabbi Yehuda was never really accepted. So that may also be what Abai is driving at. So we can't tell exactly why Abai dismisses the Mechitza Shel Barzel just like that. Or maybe one can argue that one of the svaras that we mentioned yesterday, that if you hold like the Ran, that Mamid is only a gezeira, so maybe the gezeira only applies when it's normal to use those kinds of materials for schach. So if you have a metal pole, that gets a little bit nervous. Maybe a metal pole could be used potentially as a seal, part of the ceiling. So maybe that would be a gezeira Mamid. Mechitza Shel Barzel, what Meshugan is going to build this house, is going to take a big wall of metal and throw in a big piece of metal on top of the schach, and use that as the schach itself, highly unlikely. So just because you walk into a guy's sukkah and you see he has metal walls supporting his wooden schach, next year he's going to build metal schach. Very, very unlikely. So maybe if you go down the Ran's route, that the whole Mamid is only a gezeira, so we saw that the Ran suggested that the gezeira doesn't apply when the reason doesn't really apply. And maybe there's a fourth approach. Maybe there's another reason why Mechitza Shel Barzel don't concern us. Maybe the Mechitza Shel Barzel are together Mamid to Mamid. Maybe even though the Lashon Abai is Resich Gaba, that doesn't mean literally you put the schach on the metal. It means like we do. It means you build walls, then you build cross beams or something, and you put the schach on top of the cross beams. So when he says Sich al Gaban, that could just simply mean that you put tzchach on top of something which is on top of something else. If you think the Magen Avraham and Mishneh Berurah's chiduch is correct, so that would be a nice way of getting out of the Abaye approach. If you look at the Chazon Ish, that Mamid doesn't make a difference, so that's probably not going to solve that problem. So we have multiple ways to read the Beis and Aleph and not lose too much sleep over Mamid. Either we're not into Rebbe altogether, we're not into Mamid altogether, there's no Gezer, it doesn't make any sense because it doesn't apply here, or it's Mamid and Mamid. Based on all the different possibilities that we spoke about in the last 2 days, we can wiggle our way out of this sugya about Mechitza Shabazel. So when all the dust settles, Mechitza Shabazel is for sure good in some shape or form. And the Ma'amid is Me'ikra Din, really, really kosher anyway. The Chetchilu, we try to avoid it if you can. The Machlekes, the Magen Avraham, Mishneh Berurah against the Chazon Ish, is Ma'amid Din Ma'amid a good solution, even on a level of Chetchila? Or maybe we should opt for another solution, at least on a level of Chetchila. How this plays out again in terms of Asukah. So most of us have some kind of an issue of Ma'amid or Ma'amid Din Ma'amid, something or other in Asukah. The Minhag Olam, at least in our community, seems to be to follow the view of the Magen Avraham, the Mishneh Berurah, that as long as we can create this scenario of Ma'amid Din Ma'amid, we're not even concerned, even with Chetchila. Okay. Thank you.